There's a very interesting story that a goy came to Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and he said to the Chachamim, "I don't understand you Jewish people. You're supposed to be very smart people and very fine people. And here you make karbanos. Very strange. You take an animal and you shech the animal and you spill out the blood and you burn it up on a mizbeach with fire and smoke. What kind of a strange thing is this, killing animals and burning them up on fire? How can a smart people do such a thing like that? And you make such a big deal out of it. Explain that to me." Now, Kinalach, the Chachamim saw that this is a very smart person, and he has a good question, but he was all, like, you know, upset. And they felt that, you know, to explain to him in the way he was, maybe he wouldn't really understand it. So they thought of a better way to let this goy know about Karbanos. So they said to him, "You know what? We will answer your question. But right now we're very, very busy. Come back in a few hours and we will sit down with you and we will go over the question. But during that time, we would like you to take a walk around Yerushalayim for a few hours. And when you're done with the walk, come back and then we'll be done with what we have to do. And we'd be glad to take your question again." Well, at first the goy was a little bit upset, but he says, "Look, you know, they're not really pushing me away. They're just very busy, and they want me to come back later. And they said they want me to take a walk around Yerushalayim. What's wrong with that? Okay, so I'll do it." Kinalach, the goy took a walk around Yerushalayim for a few hours. And during the time of the walk, he noticed that Yerushalayim was very different than the city he came from. He couldn't help noticing, first of all, just the beauty of Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful place. It still is. But in that time, it was so beautiful. And then he noticed the way the people were dressed. The women were dressed sneezdik, in a modest way, not like the women where he came from. And people were not dressed fancy schmancy just to show off. They were just dressed nicely and in clean clothes and in good taste, but not like in his place where they had all kinds of clothes to show off, kinds of clothes. Then he noticed a lot of people helping other people, carrying packages, helping old people across the street. And then he noticed the way people were talking with one another and not using the kind of language like in his city. And he noticed on the street corners there were people talking. Now in his city, where he comes from, people are on the street corners and they're talking in ways or about things that are just, you know, not such nice things. And he noticed that on the corners people were talking about Hashem and about Torah and about learning. And he saw the way the kids were playing and sharing. And the way if a person was in a store, they waited in a line nicely. And they helped other people. And they were smiling. And he sees, you know, this Yerushalayim is a very, very different kind of a city. He noticed what people were doing. They were working. There were houses of learning, there were shuls full of people learning and davening. And he felt there was a special bracha, a special kind of a feeling in Yerushalayim. He couldn't explain it, but he just felt that this place is completely different than where I come from. Much nicer and much more special. And he came back to the Beis HaMikdash. He came back to where the Chachamim were and they were waiting for him and they said, "We're ready to answer your question about..." "Oh yeah, by the way, what was my question? I almost forgot what my question was. Don't you remember? You're asking if the Jewish people are supposed to be such smart people and such nice people, so why do we take animals and burn them up on the Mizbeach? That's karbanis. Why do we do such a thing? It's very strange. That's what you asked, right? He says, oh yeah, yeah, that was my question. Can you explain it to me? So they said, we can't really explain it to you so easily, but one thing we want you to know. Whatever you saw on your walk today, and of course you must have seen a lot of things because you walked for a few hours around Yerushalayim, everything that you saw on the walk, that's only because of our karbanis. All of the ways that the people were, and the special feeling, and the special ways of behaving, all of this bracha comes from the karbanis. And the rest, of course, there's many things to explain, but we want you to know that's the main thing. The main thing, Kenelach, when the Yid made in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Mikdash, karbanis, the karbanis went up to Hashem, and Hashem sent down a special bracha, and that was the bracha that the Yidden had in the time of the Beis Mikdash. Now, Kenelach, a long time ago, in the Beis Mikdash, they took animals, and there was a Mizbeach, and there was fire burning on the Mizbeach. A fire came down from the Himmel, and the Kohenim also made fire, and they burned up the animal on the Mizbeach, and that was a Korban. And the Korban went up to Hashem. Nowadays, we don't have a Mizbeach, and we don't have the Korbanos, but we have something to replace it. Because even, we didn't learn Lech Lecha yet, but when Avram Avinu found out about the Karbanis in the base of Mikdash, he asked Hashem right away, what will happen when there is not going to be a base of Mikdash and the Yidden won't be able to make Karbanis? And Hashem said, don't worry. Even in Golis, you're going to have something to replace it. Now, who knows what it is? Come up here. What is it that we have nowadays that... What is it that we have nowadays that is replacing, at least for the time being, until Mashiach comes, the Karbanis?
Davening.
Very good, and davening. Because we have inside of ourselves now the animal. Who knows what is the animal that, this is the animal that we put on the Mizbeach. What is our own animal?
The Yetzirah.
The Yetzirah. He's like an animal. And... where is our Mizbeach? Where is our Mizbeach that we put the animal on the Mizbeach?
Our heart.
Very good. The heart is the place where we are makriv the animal. By the way, the word korban comes from the word karoiv, close. We even bring our animal close to Hashem through a korban. And what is the fire? You know what the fire is? Come. What is the fire that burns inside of us, that this is the fire that burns up the korban?
The Yetzer Toiv.
Okay, the Yetzer Toiv.
Loving Hashem.
Loving Hashem. It's called Ahavas Hashem. Love is like a fire. Excited. A person says, I'm very excited to learn Torah, to do a mitzvah. I want to come close to Hashem. I love Hashem. You know, if you love somebody, you want to do what they ask of you. You love your mommy. Your mommy asks you to do something. Hopefully you do it right away. Not only you do it right away with Jesus. You're lebedik about it. Okay? So this, Kenelach, is a korban. Now one more thing that you should know. That's like a korban. Now there's something else that we have now that is like the avoida of karbanos. And that is our table that we eat food, that we eat our meals. Now first of all, Kinalach, we know that we always dip our bread in salt. Now why do we have to have salt on the table? This is to remind us that our eating is like karbanos, because all the karbanos had salt on them. It was a mitzvah. It was a mitzvah to put salt on every korban. So when we dip our bread in the salt, that reminds us that our food is like karbonis. Now, the table is our mizbeach. The food are like the different karbonis. The food is like the different karbonis. Now, some karbonis were animals, so we have flesh. Some karbonis were plants, like the korban mincha was flour with oil. And sometimes they brought fruits. It didn't go on the mizbeach, but it was brought for the bikurim, to serve Hashem. Now, even wine was used on the mizbeach. They poured wine and water by the Simchas Beis HaSheva. So first of all, we make sure that our food is kosher, because all of the karbanos were kosher, of course. Not only kosher, but as kosher as could be. So we make sure that our food is as kosher as can be. Matachli sahidr. And then, of course, we wash, if we have to wash, or if not, of course, we're going to make the proper bracha. And we make the bracha, and that starts the karbanos to go up to Hashem. And when we eat the food, it goes into us, and it becomes a part of our koyach, of our chayis. It makes us lebedik, it gives us life. That's like the fire. And what are we supposed to do with that koyach that we have? Afterwards, we go and serve Hashem. Well, that's right. I mean, we have koyach, and we buy a meal, of course, if you eat properly. When you leave the meal, you're going to have more koyach than when you started. You're not supposed to eat too little, of course. You can't even make a bracha achrayna. But you're not supposed to eat too much either. If you eat too much, you're going to go away from the meal, you're going to be too heavy, and you won't be able to serve Hashem. You'll have no koyach. The Rambam says, you should not eat until you're full. If you eat until you're full, then when you leave the table, a few minutes later, you're going to feel so full, you're not going to feel good. You should eat until you are still a little bit hungry. You can eat a little bit more, but you feel satisfied. Then, when you leave the table, a few minutes later, you'll feel fine. Then you make your bracha achrayna, or you bench. Then what are you supposed to do with all of your energy? Learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And that brings the korban up to Hashem. Then all of the koyach and all of the chayis and all of the animal, all of the animals that you, whatever. So when we make the bracha and we have the kosher food and we eat the kosher food in order to serve Hashem and not just to eat a lot and make ourselves feel good. Of course, you're going to feel better after you ate, but the main kavanah isn't that you should get koyach to serve Hashem. And even if you're a big tzaddik, you'll even try to eat l'shem shemayim. And that is also going to help a person to eat like a mensch and not like a behema. The way you eat by the table is going to be an edel away. The Rambam says, how can you tell a Talmud Chacham? Don't go and look at him learn. Look at the way he eats. Look at the way a person eats. You can tell if they're a Talmud Chacham. If there's edelkeit there, or chas v'shalom grubkeit, if they eat chas v'shalom not in a nice way, then it means the Torah is not really affecting their actions. You see a person eating in an edel way. So that could tell something about if they're a Talmud Chacham or not. And the Rambam says, look at the way a person walks down the street. Look at the way they do shopping. Do they cut in line and do they start draining a cup the person that they should take care of them first? Or do they wait their turn patiently and give respect to other people? These are different ways to look at a Talmud Chacham, to tell a Talmud Chacham. And then you go after your meal and you do good things and serve Hashem. This is a korban. This is bringing all of these things close to Hashem. And lifting up, of course, the Yetzer Hara. This story, we go far away to Bavel. And over there, they built big yeshivas and places for Yidden to live in Yiddish neighborhoods. And over there, there was a city called Nahuza. And there was a big, nice yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva was Rava. You'll find his name in the Gemara. Rava. Rava and Abaya. Rava was not only a big tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham and a very, very big Rosh Yeshiva in charge of many students, but he was a very wealthy man, very rich man. He had a lot of money. And being a tzaddik and knowing that the money that Hashem gives a person is not just for themselves, it's to share. So he was a big Baal Tzedakah, which means he gave a lot of tzedakah to people. And one day, a poor man came to the yeshiva, and he knew that the Rava would give people with a smile, with an open hand. He would give them what they needed. He wouldn't just give them a quarter or a nickel or a dime. He would give them not only money, he would give them his time to listen to their problems and to give them what they really needed. If they needed clothes, he would give them clothes. If they needed food, he would give them food. If they needed maybe to borrow some money, he would lend them money. If they needed medicine, he would make sure they get medicine. Taking care of what people needed and helping people. So this poor man came to the yeshiva and he goes to Rava and he says, I would like to speak to you because I came here, I heard that you give people what they need and I really need something right now and maybe you could help me. And Rava said, come to my private room and I'll listen to you what you need. And Rava and the poor man go into the private room and Rava sits down and he looks at the man. And Rava, being a very, very smart tzaddik, who understood people very well, he could tell just by looking at this person and the way this person talked and the way he was, that this was a person that was not always poor his whole life. He could tell he came from a very fine family, and he could tell that he was once a very wealthy person. And he started asking the man, tell me, were you always a poor person? And do you come from a poor family? And sure enough, the man said, no, I used to be a very wealthy businessman. I used to live in a beautiful home. I used to have many workers. And I used to have many businesses. But my mazel changed. And a lot of the businesses that I had went down. I lost money. And I had to pay off so many debts, money that I owed. And the businesses didn't go well after that until I just lost all my money and I have to beg for food. And that's where I'm now, just a beggar. And Rava says, what could I do for you to help you? Well, actually, the only reason I came was to ask for a good meal because I'm very hungry. So I came to you to ask for a good meal so I could eat. And Rava says, well, what would you like to eat? What can I get for you? We have a yeshiva kitchen where the boys eat. Maybe you'd like food from the yeshiva kitchen. The man says, no, I don't want just regular food from the yeshiva kitchen because what I need is chicken and wine. That's what I'm used to eating, chicken and wine. And Rava says, well, you know, tonight I was passing by the kitchen and I saw that the cook is getting ready for the boys' chicken for supper. And I'm sure we can find a bottle of wine somewhere in the kitchen because it's going to be Shabbos in a few days. And I'm sure that they have wine ready for Shabbos. And or there's some wine left from last Shabbos, so we'll get you chicken and wine. What's the problem? The man said, no. Not just regular chicken, yeshiva chicken, or boiled chicken, or broiled chicken, or cooked chicken, and not just regular wine. What I came to you is to ask for
very, very fancy chicken with spicy sauce and very old, delicious, good, expensive wine, the kind that comes in those fancy bottles. That's what I need. Special chicken in fancy sauce and special, good, expensive, old wine. That's what I need. And Rava thinks to himself, and he says to the man, you know, even if I could get that for you, which I don't know if I could, because you're asking for something very special, but maybe since you are in this situation that you have to go around asking people for food, I mean, how many people can give you food like that anyway? Maybe you should change, and you should get used to eating just regular food, like regular chicken, or maybe even just beans and bread and onions, because you might not always be able to get that kind of food that you need. And even now, maybe you won't be able to get such food. So you should change and go down on the way that you eat and not eat such special, expensive things. And the man shook his head. He says, no, why should I change? I'm used to, for many years, eating that kind of food, not only because it's delicious and it tastes good, but, as you see, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm actually very, very old. And my body needs these nice, fine, good kinds of foods. It's not only for taste, but if I eat just regular kinds of chicken, and if I drink regular kinds of wine, I get a headache, I get a stomach ache, I don't feel well. I just don't feel well. And if I eat delicious chicken with the right kind of spices, and I drink the best kind of wine, then I feel very good. I have enough koyach, I feel fine. I don't have a headache, I don't have a stomach ache. And also, the main thing, I'm not really asking you for the food, because I know who's in charge of all food and all the things that a person needs. Hashem. Hashem is in charge of all the food and all the things that a person needs. And I know that people are just shluchim. They're just like a messenger to carry out what Hashem does. Like if a person gives tzedakah, a person has money. Is it the person that's giving their money to the poor person? Or Hashem gave this person money as a shliches, that this person should give the money to a poor person? How does it work? Is it your money that you're giving to a poor person? Or when you got the money in the first place, it was money that didn't belong to you, and it's your job that part of your money you should give away to a poor person as a shliches for Hashem, that you're doing Hashem's mitzvah to give tzedakah? That's the way it is. So he says, I'm really going to you, but I have in mind that Hashem should give me the food. And also, it says in davening in Ashrei, I want you to listen to this, because this is very interesting. We say Ashrei 3 times a day. Eine choyel elecha yisabedu. Everyone's eyes are looking to Hashem, and they're waiting for Hashem. Ve'ata noisein lahem es achlan bitoy. And we say to Hashem, you give to everyone their food in his time. Now, that means that not only Hashem gives the food to a person, but when the person needs the food, Hashem is giving each person what they need, what the person needs, in the time that a person needs it. And then it says, Poiseach es yadecha, Hashem, open up your hand, umazbia lochol chai ratzoin, and satisfy every living thing according to what it wants. Somebody else might be happy with bread and beans, and that's all they want. But I want something else. And Hashem is the one who will make sure that I get it, if that's what I need. He'll satisfy me and give it to me when I need it, which is the time that I need it, which is now. Now is the time. That's what we say in Ashrei. So I believe that Hashem could give me what I need, when I need it, because that's what we say in davening. and Kinalach. And as Rava is listening to this man, talking from his heart, and talking from believing in Hashem, and knowing what the davening says, and Rava is listening to him, and Taka Rava is wondering, you know, what he says is true. What am I going to do for this man? The yeshiva is not going to cook the fancy chicken and the fancy sauce and serve the boys the most expensive wine. But the man is right. Hashem is such a great Hashem that in the same way that he can give a person bread and beans, he's such a great Hashem and he's in charge of everything in the world, he can also give a person exactly what he wants, just like we say in the davening. All of a sudden, just then, just in that second, one of Rava's servants came running into the room. He says, Rava, Rava, or maybe he called him Rebbe, Rebbe, a very big surprise, a visitor for you. Your sister has come to visit you unexpectedly. Rava thinks to himself, oi, my sister, I have not seen her in 13 years, and she's come to visit me. And he got so excited, he says to the poor man, please just wait a few minutes because I have to say hello to my sister. She came after not having seen me for 13 years. I'm so excited. He gets up, and Rava goes out of the small room, and there's a bigger room outside of the smaller room that leads to the big door from the outside. And all of a sudden, he sees his sister is coming now towards him, and she's dressed very beautifully. She was also very wealthy, and she was smiling, and in her hand was a beautiful basket with a beautiful cover over it. And she says, my brother Rava, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you for so long. And I wanted to give you this beautiful gift that I made for you. I hope you're happy with it. Please accept it from me. She gives him the basket. He uncovers the cover on the basket. And Rava looks down and he sees, and he can hardly believe his eyes, a beautiful cooked chicken with beautiful, fancy, delicious sauce, very fancy, spicy kinds of sauce, and it smelled so good. And next to the chicken was a beautiful, expensive, fancy bottle of the best kind of wine in one of those fancy bottles. Very expensive. And she smiles, and the Rava smiles, and he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, you have no idea what you did to bring me this beautiful gift. Because not only you brought me delicious food, and you brought me a beautiful gift that you must have prepared with great love and great kavana, but you're also bringing a tremendous bracha from Hashem. And you're doing also a big tzedakah. And you're also being a shliach for Hashem for a big mitzvah and a big kiddush Hashem that we see the greatness of Hashem. And she says, what are you talking about? And of course, he explained to her that just in this moment, a man that she didn't know, who came from a different place, and she came from far away from a different place, and she is a shliach, bringing exactly what the man needed, in exactly the time that he needed it. And of course, everyone heard about that story, and you see exactly like the davening says, and exactly like the Torah says. And that's the way it happens in the world, that Hashem gives everybody what they need, even though one person might need something, and somebody else might need something else. Not everybody needs the same thing. And Hashem can take care of everybody in their needs, in their time. And Hashem has all kinds of ways to do it and all kinds of shluchim to do it. He's such a great Hashem that He can give you exactly what you need in the time that you need it. Now, also, it's very important to know, I want you to listen to this. Let's say you need something and you're not getting it. It could be two ways. Maybe you really don't need it. Because if you're doing everything according to the Torah to get it and you're not getting it, it could be that you don't need it. Maybe you need something else. Maybe from this you'll learn that, you know, there's something else that you need, and Hashem will help you to get that. Or it could be that you really do need it, and Hashem will give it to you, or maybe He'll give you something even better, but now is not the time, because there's two things, the thing that you need and the time that you get it. So it could be that you need it and you will get it. All you have to do is wait a little longer and you'll get it in the right time.